Second Chronicles, to be exact. Chapter 7. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. As we continue our study on abiding in Christ. And I think this is one of the most critical portions of abiding in Christ. Staying, as we call, looked at it last week and the week before. He calls us to come and to stay, and not leave. Now, when you take a look at God's people all through Scripture, you'll notice that there's times when they are in the presence of God, and God does amazing things. And then they get kind of lazy, spiritually lazy. And before long, they're allowing the culture around them to control what they're thinking and doing. And then God does something very important each time to draw their attention back to Him. And then here goes the cycle again. It's interesting that at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, and in fact, I want to back up. We're going to read in verse 11 in just a moment, but I want to back up to the very first part of chapter 7. It says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. And when all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they fell on their knees with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. Father, I come to you this evening, and I just ask, Father, that you will speak to our hearts as we look into these verses, that just so show us how we can abide in you, but what happens when we don't. And I pray, Father, that you will speak to our hearts. I realize, Lord, that this was directed right to the people of Israel, your people. But now we are a part of that because we've been grafted in. And we are your people. And we want to follow you. And so these words are also applied to us. And I pray, Lord, that we'll put them into practice as we hear them again tonight. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Second Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord, and the royal palace had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, now, just stop there for a minute and just dwell on that for a second. You're in bed. You had a long day, a long week, maybe a long year. And you've completed something. And you're ready to just kick back for a little bit and rest and relax. And all of a sudden, the Lord appears. By the way, that's going to happen pretty soon. So the Lord appears at night and he says, I've heard your prayer, Solomon. I've chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send plagues among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now look at verse 15. We most often don't read that along with this, but look at that. Now, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. In other words, God is saying to us, if we will keep our eyes fixed on Him, if we will keep in His presence, if we will follow His decrees, if we will look to Him for everything that we need, then He will do all these things for us. And so if you have your outline tonight, I just want to follow along. the incredible importance of humility. You see, abiding in Christ means I humble myself, put myself last, so that He can be first. Because there's no room on the throne of your life for two different people. It's either going to be Him or it's going to be you or me, whoever we're talking about. There's no room for both of us. It's like somebody driving a car and somebody sitting in the front seat next to the person driving the car trying to reach over and grab the steering wheel and drive the car, and you know how well that works. Doesn't work so well. Humility says, I put someone else before I put myself. But the opposite of humility is pride. And it's really, literally the thing that draws us as people away from where we need to be. It draws us away from the presence of God. It draws us away from everything that He's wanting to do in our life and everything He's wanting to say in our life. Pride hinders our prayers. You see, it's obvious because the very first thing that God says to Solomon, He says, I've heard your prayer. And I've chosen this place for myself as a temple. And when I do some things like shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and do what? Pray. But he notice he says something interesting there. He says, humble themselves and pray. You see, you can't really pray in pride. Because it'd be ludicrous. You'd be praying to somebody who you think can't do anything better than you can. So what is the opposite of humility? It's pride. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34 says, God opposes the proud, but He shows great favor to the humble. The word opposes literally means to fight against. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to fight against God. Because I'll lose every time. God never loses. When we are prideful, we are setting ourselves on the opposite side of God. How can we pray when we're fighting against Him and Him against us? Prayers aren't even useful. In fact, I think it's interesting that many times people pray and they don't really even think about what they're praying. They just say the same prayer they always say. And, you know, they're just following the motions. And that's not prayer. The opposition of humility. It's not only opposite of humility, it's the opposition of humility. You see, unless we realize that God is the vine, our everything, and we can't move forward. We have to stay connected to Him. We have to stay in Him, in His presence. Everything we need comes from Him. Not everything you want, because we always have selfish wants, don't we? We don't need those things. What we need is Him. What we need is His power in us. What we need is His Spirit flowing through us. What we need is to be the conduit that He rushes His living water through. None of us deserve His goodness and His love and His mercy. We don't deserve that at all. What we deserve is separation from Him. What happens? Pride exalts itself above other things. And that's a form of idolatry. Because when we set ourselves above what God wants, then we're worshiping our desires. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 28 says, you save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. Again, in Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, the wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek Him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. James chapter 4, Verses 13 through 16. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Pride hinders our prayers, our relationship with Christ. It hinders our ability to be able to abide in Him as He calls for us to do and to stay in Him. Secondly, punishment for no humility. It comes. Look at what it says in verse 13. When I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or I command locusts to devour the land, or I send a plague among my people. You see, God always chastens the proud. He always brings discipline to those who stand and think that they don't need God. And He will bring them low. He brings them to their knees one way or the other. He brings us to our knees one way or the other. If we're prideful, He brings us to our knees because we deserve every bit of discipline He gives us. But if we humble ourselves, He brings us to our knees so that we can be in His presence and worship Him. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Those who are in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, every person, everywhere, will one day bow their knee and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. God will bring the proud very low. And in fact, Scripture says God resists the proud. He fights against the proud. Not only does pride put us on the opposite side of God, He even fights against us. You're not going to win. I'm not going to win if I'm prideful. In fact, in James chapter 4, a little bit before what we read just a moment ago, verses 6 through 10, it says, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. It's better for us to humble ourselves than to be humbled by Him. Amen, Romy. Amen. Pride hinders our prayers and punishment comes for no humility. Thirdly tonight, what is the purpose then of humility? Well, look at what verse 14 says. If my people who are called by my name will what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. You see, there's a purpose for humility. Humility opens the door to true prayer. See, God's door is closed to those who are prideful. Now, it doesn't mean He doesn't hear them. God hears everything. But He does not receive their prayer. The door is closed. Because He knows our heart. He knows all of our hearts. He knows if we're praying in a humble way, with humility, or He knows if we're just praying because we think it's something we're supposed to do. When we humble ourselves, He opens the door. Why? Humility is the realization that He is God and I am not. Don't we need to be reminded of that all the time? Because for some reason we think we can do everything. We think we can handle stuff, we can do stuff. Why do I need God? until something happens and you realize how much you really do need God. It opens the door to prayer, and it opens our heart to commune with Him, to communication. You see, when we seek His face, we are seeking this relationship that He desires with us. You see, God doesn't want to just sit up in heaven and look down upon earth and say, okay guys, do the best you can. God wants to be intimately involved with us. And that's why Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you will abide in me and I in you, you'll bring forth much fruit. Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Look into the face of God, and nothing else can rob you of His joys, His blessings, and His love. I love that statement. Just read it one more time. Look into the face of God, and nothing else can rob you of His joys, His blessings, and His love. Psalm 27, verses 4 through 7. One thing I've asked of the Lord, David says, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord once a week. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble, which we all have, He will conceal me. He will hide me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above the enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. The purpose for humility is it opens up the door to prayer and our heart to commune with Him. And lastly, the second part of verse 14 tells us about the payment of humility. He says that if you will do these things, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then. This is so incredibly important. He says, then I will hear. The literal meaning is I will pay attention to you. Now, we hear stuff all the time that we don't necessarily pay attention to. Have you ever worked in a situation where there's a radio going on all the time, and half the time you're not even paying attention to what's on the radio? But it's on all the time, and you can hear it all the time if you paid attention to it. And I think for us, many times, God is always speaking. He's always speaking. But we kind of tune Him out sometimes because we're focused on something else and we get our minds on something else and we're missing what He's trying to say. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear. God says, I will hear you. Many times we hear with dull ears. We've heard the noise, but not the news. There's so many things going on around us right now. So many different media outlets that are trying to shout things. That's the noise. But what people really need to hear is the news, the good news. Psalm chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. There it is again. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth will no longer cause terror. He says, if my people will do those things, I will hear. And then he says, I will forgive. Nothing gives us more freedom than forgiveness. Have you ever had somebody who wouldn't forgive you? And it seemed like they held it against you for so long. But finally, the day came where you asked for forgiveness and they say, I forgive you. What happens? It just tears the chains off of your life. I remember as a pretty young boy, I've shared my testimony before, but my real father was very angry all the time. He was addicted to alcohol. When he drank, which was most of the time, he was very mean, hurtful, a lot of different things. And when my mom got my youngest sister, my young sister and myself, and loaded us up in the car after a terrible thing that had gone on in our home, and we took off, I remember in my heart, I began to hate my dad for all the things he'd done. Because I could see that he just did it out of hatred. And so what do you do when somebody hates you? You begin to hate them back. And I hated him for many years until I came to know Jesus. And then God started to speak to my heart. He says, how can you love other people when you still have hatred in your heart? And I remember one night I got down beside my bed and I was probably 13 years old. Began to weep. And just said, and my real father had already by that point committed suicide. And there was, I knew there was no way I could go and speak to him. But I remember praying that night, dear Lord, if there's some way that you could tell my dad I forgive him, please do that. And from that point on, there was a weight lifted off me. God says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive. By the way, this is dependent on us turning from our own wicked ways. That's what true repentance is. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and, what does it say? Turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them. I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal their land. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe our land needs a healing. In so many different ways. It's being pulled apart farther and farther by people who think that they know what's best. But it's causing such a huge rift that we've missed the most important thing. And that's why I don't sit and watch TV, because I don't even have TV channels at my house. I don't listen to the news that much. Every once in a while, I'll just flip it on for 5 minutes just to make sure I didn't miss something that I needed to know about. But if you watch the news for 2 or 3 hours, you get so mad or upset or whatever else. And I don't need that. What I need is 2 or 3 hours in God's Word and realize when it says, if my people would just listen to me, if they will abide in me, if they will do what I've called them to do, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. When God says He will do something, He will do it. He will take what is broken and mend it. He will take what is hurting and comfort it. And the reason He will do these things is because it is His nature to heal, because He is Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals. Now, I know we oftentimes pray for people to be healed physically, but maybe it's time we start praying for our nation to be healed spiritually. We need to pray for those who are in charge. Whether we like what they do or not, is not really the deal. I mean, God didn't say, pray for somebody if you like what they do. No, He didn't say that. I'm sure there were many people who didn't like the way our former president ran this country. The fact is, we need to pray for our leaders, those whose God has put in authority over us. Pray, first of all, for their salvation, if they're not saved. Second of all, pray that they will listen to what God says to them. You see, because they're in the same boat we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves to say, I can't do this, but you can, God. I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Let's pray. Father, help us to be humble before you. We will either come in humility to you, or you will humble us yourself. But help us, Lord, to see you like you really are, high and lifted up, exalted, the one who deserves all the glory and praise. Help us, Lord, to ask for forgiveness and to give forgiveness. Lord, I pray you will heal our country. I pray, Father, that there will be a sweeping revival that crashes through the boundaries and the walls all around us and begins to let people know how much you really, truly love them. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for choosing to live inside of us as your temple. And Lord, I pray that we will humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.